football world has been left reeling and in shock at the murder of Adelaide Crows coach Phil Walsh.
I'm in just total shock. I can't believe it. I really can't.
Our game is in mourning today.
It's really difficult to get your head around what's happened this morning.
Phil Walsh gave such a lot to our game.
A lot of people know Walshy through footy, I don't really know what to say, but it's just a bloody horrible situation here that I don't know what to say. It's just shit here.
The impact that Phil Walsh has had on this club will be remembered forever.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the MCG. An MCG, it has to be said, that has an entirely different feel to it to the one that we would have anticipated this time yesterday in preparation for tonight's Collingwood and Hawthorn clash. We're on air an hour earlier tonight as a result of the devastating news that we woke up to this morning, that Adelaide Crows coach Philip Walsh had been murdered, his 26-year-old son being officially charged with the offence that took place in the early hours of this morning. On behalf of everyone at Triple M, we extend our heartfelt sympathies to the family of Phil and his friends and colleagues, not least of all the Adelaide Footy Club, who have the unimaginable task of trying to comprehend and deal with this tragedy. Brian Taylor, Damien Barrett and Jason Dunstall join me. And boys, whilst the show must go on tonight, it's impossible to imagine anything, a football match included, taking our minds away from the heartbreaking circumstances that we are confronted with. Brian, let's start with you. Amongst the four of us, you knew Phil best. He was a teammate of yours at the Collingwood Footy Club. This is, we've all been in media for a long, long time. I can't imagine anything that compares to this.
No, it is unbelievable. It was just, I was on a plane coming back from Sydney this morning, jumped on the plane at 7 a.m. and got the text on landing in Melbourne. And you just refute any such text that says that such a thing has happened. So it was just absolutely unbelievable. I just refused to believe it for the first hour or two until it finally was obvious that that was the case. But look, he was just a guy that totally immersed himself in football. He's just a footy head, Phil Walsh. That's what he was. He just loved the game and all of his energy went into being involved in the game.
I think in times like this, it's good to talk about it, and we'll do that for the next hour and imagine more. Chief, yourself and Damo involved in news. You were getting calls this morning like everyone, I'd imagine, and you've seen a lot of things in news. And we're going to go to Rob Chapman, by the way, the Adelaide Crows chairman, who was outstanding today in the most extraordinary circumstances, very, very shortly. But I'm not sure when your phone started going, Damo, that you could believe what you're seeing.
No, it goes, and as you know, I sent yourself and others a text message, and just before hitting the send on it, and that was before it made public and the police had released the information publicly, that just reading it back before I sent it to you, it just didn't make sense even after you knew it to have taken place. And the extremities of the sadness with this particular incident, Gaz, are just what resonates so loudly with a wife who witnessed it and a sister who's flying back from overseas and their lives still to live.
Chief, you've been in charge of a footy club, and this is in lots of ways secondary, but the harsh reality is that things have to go on, although the game has been postponed for all the right reasons on the weekend. But can you imagine how hard they're doing it at Adelaide?
I actually don't think you can imagine, Gaz. I think that's the difficulty of it all. I'm like everyone else. I started getting messages this morning, and it's shock and disbelief that hits you first. But you can only, you can't even guess what the hurt, the grief, the loss that those that are close to Phil and his family and friends are actually enduring at the moment, and the impact that has. I mean, these things happen in everyday life, and we tend to be, we don't really experience it.
We're
unless removed. You've had it, unless you've had it, you know, in your extended family, this is something that kind of we don't deal with. But all of a sudden, when it's in the AFL community, it's large, it's confronting. And I'm a bit like everyone else. I'm not quite sure how to handle it, Gaz, to be brutally honest.
I don't think anyone is. We are a big footy family, and we rally together when things like this happen. And Rob Chapman, the Adelaide Crows chairman, who's been kind enough to join us, Rob, can again just pass on all of our sympathies from everyone at Triple M, but the broader footy community. I'm sure you're getting a sense of that, the outpouring of emotion and grief. And when you sign on as a chairman of a footy club, you never, ever imagine you're going to have to deal with circumstances such as this.
No, she's been a tough day today, Gary, and thanks to you and to all of you for sending your earlier messages through. And we do work in a real good industry, don't we, because the level of support, you know, I've got from my fellow chairmen, the AFL, Players Association, coaches, the footy community has been outstanding, and that's what you do. And footy clubs are resilient. Gee, this one's testing us out, though.
Rob, you spoke, as Gary said, so magnificently today in your capacity as club boss alongside Andrew Fagan, the CEO, and you addressed so many issues, and obviously of primary concern at some stage of the day was the group of players you had. You grabbed them together at very early in the morning, and if you could just take us through that particular moment and how they are faring.
Yeah, Damien, probably primary concern is Meredith, of course.
Yep.
You know, Phil's wife and family, his and hers. She's got some good support around her at the moment, but you know, we just instantly, you think of her and ensure that she's got the right level of support around her. But, you know, followed closely then by, you know, the players, the coaches, the staff. And, you know, there's a third category, and sort of we're experiencing that this afternoon with fans and supporters and members. But, you know, I got the call 3:30 this morning, you know, from the police, and, you know, like you just expressed, or Jason did, you know, it's just shock. You just don't want to believe it. You certainly don't expect it. And, you know, from there, you've got to pull yourself together. I spoke to Andrew Fagan, David Noble, our head of footy operations. We got to the club at about 4. We just worked out methodically who do we need to contact. Coaches and the leadership team first, and they sort of got to the club, you know, from about 6:30 onwards. And you work out, you got to tell them what you know, the facts as you understand them at the time, so that everyone's on the same page. And we did that. And then, of course, you know, you allocate the tasks out. You know, just everyone rang every player. We had a couple overseas, a coach overseas, and just make sure they know. And, you know, you go through the process from there, quite frankly.
To make things even worse, Rob, one of the difficulties in these situations when it comes to dealing with loss and grief is everyone handles it differently. Some people respond, some don't, some shut off. What's the process around your staff and your players and all those involved now to monitor how everyone does cope with the situation?
You're so right, and we've seen that. You know, there's no one-size-fits-all answer here. You can't just prescribe how you go about it. You know, there's 40-odd players, 42 players, and, you know, 15 coaches. And, you know, we thought it was important that we do stay together in the morning. So, you know, I addressed them all at around 8:30, quarter to 9. I said, look, guys, here it is. Let's regroup again in a couple of hours. Go away, do what you have to do. Some sat on the stairs by themselves, you know, hoodie over the head. Others, you know, collectively together, sitting around a table talking. Each was different. You're so right. But look, you regroup and, you know, you give them an update. And look, tonight we will catch up again and, you know, further debrief. You know, we probably haven't spoken a lot about, you know, all the secondary factors like the football and all that. We sort of delegated, if this probably hopefully makes sense, delegated to the AFL. We rang Gillam, obviously, early this morning. And his team's been fantastic. We left the logistics to them. Look, you tell us what we have to do. Here's our thoughts. And they've been a fantastic resource to us over the last, you know, 12 hours.
So collectively, Rob, those meetings will continue. You said tonight again with the players, and then I would assume again tomorrow?
Yes, yeah. We're getting the players together tonight, the coaches, and, you know, we'll just go over it again. Just make sure everybody's good. As just we both said before, you know, everyone's going to be different how they handle it and how they deal with it. And this is going to be ongoing, I suspect, for some time. It won't be over tomorrow or the next day. So we'll do that again tonight. I think we'll meet down the club again in the morning. We had the planned captain's run at 9, and so we'll talk about that tonight and where to from here.
And just with those discussions, Rob, and the way that people are handling things, you're basically needing to be that rock for everyone, the one that gets everyone together. Where do you get your help from? How do you actually cope with these sorts of things when you're virtually one out trying to make sure everyone else is coping with it?
Yeah, oh, look, you know, I'm so proud of our footy club. There's lots of leaders within it. You know, my board, Fags, is just an exceptional CEO, the executive team. So there is a lot of resource there, and you know what Phil told us to be was authentic. You know, this isn't unreal. Be authentic. Look after each other. I'll tell you what, it's a message we got to make sure all of your listeners get to. You know, speak to your mum and dad or your son or daughter tonight, your husband or wife, and ask them if they're okay and give them a hug, because that's what we got to do. Just wrap our arms around each other now, and there's a lot of resource there. And I suppose we've got a little bit of history to Jason with Dean Bailey.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that long ago, that we'll draw on, and may indeed you know, bring back some memories. So we got it all ahead of us. Let's make no mistake.
Speaking of Rob Chapman, the Adelaide Crows chairman, Rob, were you one of the people that had to phone the players? Did you get an allocation of players that you had to ring yourself?
Yeah, we did. It was literally David Noble, Andrew Fagan, myself, at, you know, there at 4 o'clock in the morning. We waited till about, I don't know, 6 o'clock, and we rang the leadership team, a couple each, and you know, it's just they're hard calls to make.
I can't imagine, Rob. I can't imagine you're ringing someone at 6 a.m. in the morning, a player who'd be in a deep sleep, you'd imagine, at that time, and the response would be one of just utter disbelief.
I think that was, you know, almost the standard response from everybody. You know, it was, they just couldn't believe it. It was disbelief. Mm. Then it was shock, and then it was, well, you know, what happened? I think there's still a little bit of disbelief. I mean, she's been a bit of a whirl today. It's been, you know, 13, 14 hours, and not many of us have had time to really sit back and actually reflect on it. We're sort of almost on autopilot, but we'll do that over coming days because, you know, frankly, there's a lot of work to do.
Rob, as you've expressed, there's logistics you have to deal with, unfortunately, as this unfolds, and one of them was the Sunday's scheduling of the match. Was the decision to not play that game, was that one that the players were party to, or was that just something that you simply as a club and others around the club had to make on their behalf?
Look, I think all parties did, including Geelong Football Club, and they've been, let me say, categorically fantastic throughout this process. You know, they certainly had some views. We had our views, and the AFL had theirs, and, you know, look, they lined up. I think, you know, now, on, you know, cold, hard light of day, 4 or 5 hours later, we've made the right decision. It would have been unresponsible of us to ask players from both teams,
yeah,
to run out onto the ground Sunday.
And again, the logistics have you playing in Perth next Saturday week. Is that absolutely locked in at this stage, or do you revisit that situation as the week unfolds?
Look, I think it's locked in. You know, we actually had a state league game here tomorrow. We've postponed that. We might play that one later in the year. There's a bit of greater flexibility in the scheduling here at local level. But look, I said it a while ago, you know, we're not going to be over this, you know, in 48 hours. You know, Phil's, you know, in a very short period of time has had a significant impact on our football club and has engaged every single person in it, not just the players. And this will take time, but we know what he would expect. We know what he would be saying. And, you know, he started us all on a journey, and we were progressing on that. And we were excited about it, and already, you know, players, the leaders of our club are saying to me, you know, we're going to continue on it.
Rob, we appreciate your time, mate. We're going to Adelaide this show, I think, and we just want everyone to know, players, supporters, everyone else, that we stand beside you. I'm not sure what we can do over here, but rest assured, the whole of the footy community is right alongside you, and we share your grief, and we extend our sympathies. And anything else that we can possibly do, we just want the Adelaide people to know, and if any of the players are listening, our thoughts are with them as well.
Now, look, I know it is, and as I said, it's a great industry we're all part of, and unfortunately, sometimes it's trauma that brings us all together to, you know, make sure people stand up and take notice. So I appreciate you saying it, and I'll pass it on to those over here.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Rob.
Rob Chapman, the Adelaide Crows chairman, and boys.
Can you imagine the enormity of the task facing him? To be at the top of the tree when you have to handle something like this and all those involved.
What is that phone call? What about that first phone call?
The very first one. I wanted to ask him that, but I didn't have the guts to, quite frankly. You know, like, what? 4 o'clock in the morning, what are you thinking when you get that phone call?
You know it's bad.
When it's ringing.
You know it's bad.
And let's just say this off the top too. When you talk about these sorts of things, and we've had too much experience of this from Melbourne Footy Club point of view and others in recent times, we're always going to get it right in terms of the language we use.
Yep.
So let's cut us a bit of slack if it doesn't come out quite the way we want it to. I know the pack will be up and about and extending their thoughts as well, but we're going to talk to Patrick Keane shortly. The ramifications that we didn't want to get into with Rob, he's got bigger things to worry about at the moment, but the actual ramifications for the season ahead and the game that's been cancelled on Sunday. We're going to speak to Lee Russell, who's a psychology coach. Seb Costello from Channel 9 is over there on the spot, and hopefully Warren Treadray as well. We're dealing with a fallout from the tragic circumstances of the murder of Philip Walsh. Just spoke to Rob Chapman. What an impressive man from the Adelaide Crows Footy Club, who's got this Herculean task ahead of him. Patrick Keane shortly about the ramifications for the competition in general, but in particular these two sides with their game having been cancelled on Sunday. Lee Russell, hopefully Warren Treadray, depending on his commitments. But right now we can cross to Channel 9, Seb Costello, who's over in Adelaide. Seb, these outpouring of emotion when these events take place, and I guess most recently the one that comes to mind is the Sydney massacre situation. I would imagine the small town of Adelaide, which is a city in itself, but it's a smaller city, if you like, would be coming together in a big, big way.
Gaz, yeah, we're seeing the emotion very publicly. When we arrived at Footy Park this morning, there would have been probably around a dozen bouquets of flowers. There'd now be over 100. There's boxes, there's scarves, there's both Adelaide and Port Adelaide jumpers. There's even a bomber scarf in there and a Collingwood one as well that shows that this situation, as terrible and as sad as it is, obviously is being felt far beyond just the Adelaide Footy Club. And you would have seen online that similar to the way there was the Put Your Bats Out showing of support after the passing of Philip Hughes, there's a Put Your Scarves Out campaign that has begun, and it has actually been taken up by the Crows themselves, with Andrew Fagan, the CEO, just moments ago walking out onto the balcony of the Adelaide Football Club and tying an Adelaide scarf around one of the banisters there to show that the club is feeling it, obviously, as much as anybody.
And Seb, you would have spoken to a whole host of people today upon your arrival over there, both fans, administrators, etc. What have you felt about all of those discussions that you've had?
Yeah, well, BT, the atmosphere inside that press conference with Rob Chapman and Andrew Fagan was incredibly moving. You could see the grief etched all over the face of Rob Chapman. There were tears in his eyes, particularly when he spoke about Meredith Walsh, Phil's wife, and when he spoke about throwing his arms around the football club at large. You know, he said this was a crisis unprecedented, and the club is just doing everything they can to keep the players together. They've involved the club chaplain in that to provide support to every player individually. And of course, champions of South Australian sport from all sides are arriving. You mentioned Warren Treadray. He's been here all day in his media commitments, but, you know, also just talking about a man who he described as the master tactician of the 2004 Premiership at Port Adelaide, of course, one that he was involved with as a player. We saw Mark Ricciuto, of course, involved at board level at the Crows. He was inside the theatre for that press conference. Said very little, and you could see that he was feeling this as well. Nigel Smart's been down here, another former champion Crow, so everybody involved with this club coming to show their support.
What about the players, Seb? We spoke to Rob Chapman just then, and they met this morning, I think he said, and they were going to gather again tomorrow?
Tonight.
Have you seen them? Has there been any of that, the boys around the footy club at all?
Yeah, they were here this morning, Gaz. The leadership group were the first to arrive, then the wider playing group, and that's where they all obviously initially received the news. Then they moved away from the football club, where they've been grieving in private ahead of that gathering tonight. But we have seen some social media postings, particularly from Tex Walker, where he talked about how he loved Phil Walsh as a bloke, and then Patrick Dangerfield as well, expressing just how much he learnt from Walsh and the sorrow that he's feeling at the moment. So some of the senior players have made some comments in that social media way. And then in terms of where this goes from here, well, I mean, there's a real feeling that fans are going to want to go to the Adelaide Oval on Sunday, even though the game has been cancelled. It's too early, of course, to, I guess, organise anything formally. That's what Chapman said, and we asked him about that earlier this afternoon. But there is some sort of anticipation that supporters, at least, are going to want to come together and commemorate throughout the weekend.
Seb, what about from a legal point of view and the police? Have they spoken at all today?
Yeah, but see, they went out this morning where they publicly confirmed that Phil Walsh was the victim of this terrible murder and that 26-year-old Cy had been taken into custody. I can tell you that the legal side has moved on since then. Cy was taken into the Flinders Hospital for a psychiatric evaluation. He was heavily medicated for most of the day, and because of that medication, didn't actually make any bail application. There was a bedside hearing, if you like, which is quite unprecedented, but would happen in these sort of circumstances where obviously that psychiatric element is a part of it. And in that bedside hearing, he was remanded and he has a court date in September, but he'll be in custody until then.
So what's next, Seb?
So it's that September court date where a directions hearing will set the schedule, if you like, for a murder trial. And then a court will decide whether or not Cy Walsh is guilty of the charge of murder.
Seb, you'll be over there for a couple of days, I would imagine, mate. So we would most likely be talking to you again over the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to it, boys. And yeah, real touching the way the football community, as always, has responded to a completely unforeseen tragedy.
Good on you, Seb Costello, Channel 9 guru, and of course, a member of the Hot Breakfast team. Lights on here at the MCG, as I said off the top. It's always an eerie footy ground when there's no one around and you're one of the few and we're in the commentary or media boxes, but you just, it's hard to imagine the game being played here and there being anything other than an eerie feeling. Spoken to Rob Chapman, spoken to Seb Costello. Let's now go to Patrick Keane. I'd imagine, again, as we said, the Rob, you could never foresee circumstances like this, but the show has to get roll on in some way, shape or form. And Patrick, the AFL from the words of Rob Chapman have been outstanding, and we commend you on that, but you've got a few things to deal with.
Hey, guys, and thanks for having us on. Yeah, I guess the primary thing really for the large chunk of today was really about the people of the Adelaide Footy Club and Philip Walsh's family and people across the competition who know him well after, you know, a three-decade involvement in the game. And so that's sort of the focus really for the first part of the day, and then thinking about the wider competition and obviously for the Adelaide people, you just couldn't countenance a game this weekend, and then thinking how appropriate for the competition to move on around that. So that's really been the central point for the AFL today.
Patrick, with the correspondence that's gone around the competition today with the, between the AFL and other clubs, there's certain protocols that are now in place for the matches that do remain in this particular round. Can you just take us through what it is that you've urged clubs to do and what you want them to consider to do, both pre and post match, please?
Yep, sure. We'd sort of had been speaking to clubs through the afternoon and then been working with the football department for match day operations. So what we've said in the pre-game, obviously for players, officials and umpires with black armbands, the usual things that clubs do pre-game, you know, some clubs might have, a guard of honour of former players, or it might be children, or, you know, you've got music tracks, or some have fireworks and whatever. Our view was that all of those things, it's best to take a week's break, and those would all resume next week. There was discussion about banners and theme songs, and in the end we thought that it was best if the teams are just running onto the field. There'll be a minute silence pre-game at each match, and there's a tribute video which will be displayed on the scoreboard at all of our games. At the quarter breaks, again, a number of clubs do things at breaks during games, and we thought that we should take a break from that for this round, and they would resume next week, with the exception of Auskick. We think it's important that children play, and also the fact that for a lot of those children, it's the only time you ever get that opportunity, and while it's a difficult round and whatever, and a lot of people may struggle with it and some may choose not to play, we wanted the opportunity to play to continue to be available. And then in terms of the post-match, again, you know, a number of clubs have fireworks and other things and things that you might do post-game. They'll take a break for this week and resume next week. And we also thought in the immediate post-match that the playing of the club song, which is, you know, something that we've always done, we thought we would stop that for this week just simply because I imagine for many clubs where Philip has a very strong link, clubs that he played with, clubs that he coached, that it's going to be hard for people who knew him well. And again, whether it's the right decision or the wrong decision, but having discussed it and tried to think it through, that's the decision we've made, that to not play just for this weekend.
You're referring to just the PA systems at the grounds, wouldn't you? When you say that the okay, so within the rooms, the clubs are there's no ruling in what they can do by way of club song within the room.
That's a decision for the clubs. We've said, you know, if you want to consider not singing your song or what you do, but I think that's probably still being debated further with clubs, so that could yet change. So I can't give you a definitive answer on that.
And, Patrick, we know ultimately the decision was to split the premiership points and not play the game. What other options did you consider?
I think in the end, you know, it's probably doesn't achieve a great deal to discuss through all the other options, because in the end we've got an outcome that we think is the best. We know that some people will feel differently and others will canvas particular things you could have done, but in the end, talking to the Crows, understanding from the Players Association the feeling of the player group and thinking of the wider game, this is the outcome that we've settled on.
Patrick, how strongly were Geelong as a club involved in those discussions and reaching that outcome?
From my understanding, really, really supportive. And all of the other clubs today and, you know, the support that they've offered to the AFL and the Crows when wanting to discuss things and how do people feel. But certainly my understanding from Geelong, they're extremely supportive and understanding of, obviously, Adelaide's position.
And Patrick, we've spoken to Rob Chapman, and obviously there's so much to actually worry about in a real and a life sense, but there's logistics that need to be thrashed through. Just little things like the lack of Brownlow votes or the absence of Brownlow votes from the game in question. Was that part of any conversations today when it actually came to the crunch?
Oh, to so many of those specifics, I can't answer them immediately straight off the top of my head. You know, it requires actually a bit of a go back and think through it on all of those little things and sort of all of those small details. They'll all come out in the coming days, but for so many of those things, it's more just looking at the really big picture today.
Patrick, you got a lot on your plate, mate. We really appreciate you giving us some time this evening.
No worries, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Patrick.
Patrick Keane, the communications manager at the AFL. We're here at the MCG, Collingwood taking on Hawthorne in the overall scheme of things, is a massive game of footy, but it's taken an absolute backseat right now to the story surrounding Philip Walsh. We can tell you that the lights are on. I can see Sam Mitchell and a few of the boys out there, but it is going to be a very strange set of circumstances tonight. No question about that, and over the weekend, and I'd imagine for the rest of the year. Mark Rusciuto is a great friend of ours, all here, of course, and a massive part of the Triple M team over in Adelaide, and also the footy director of the Adelaide Crows, and was a pivotal man in the appointment of Phil Walsh to coach the Adelaide Crows. He joined Howie and Duck this morning on the Dead Set Legends.
When you get up at 4:30 to do the breakfast show and you drive in and then you get a missed call from the chairman, you know something's going on at 5 to 5, and you think, gee, have I done anything wrong? Has anyone else done anything wrong? Quickly looked at the back page of the paper, the front page of the paper. I couldn't see anything there. And then I rang him back and he said what had happened. And just hit you like a thunderbolt, really. You're in shock. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. Obviously, it's come out now. The players are finding out. Hopefully, they've all been told. Obviously, the family's been told. Staff are finding out. It's just crisis management. It's a horrible thing. And, yeah, I mean, it's bigger than footy, but a lot of people know Walshy through footy. I don't really know what to say, boys. It's just a bloody horrible situation here that, I don't know what to say or do. It's just shit is.
Rue, you're obviously heavily involved down there at the football club. And as you said, football is the least important part of this equation. But do you head down to the club this morning and what do you bring to the table in a situation like this?
Look, I mean, all I can do is, there's people out there that want to know the Adelaide community. Let's not forget, he was at Port Adelaide for a long, long time, a lot longer than he's been at Adelaide. He was at West Coast, so he's from Hamilton. This is going to go far and wide. He's touched a lot of people, so I think my best thing for myself is to be staying on Triple M Adelaide and just keep the news rolling for people out there that are interested. But what's going to happen on the weekend? How are the players going to pull up and play a game against Geelong in 2 days' time? Will that go ahead? Should it go ahead? I don't know what's going to happen with this game of footy. And as I said, I don't even know whether we should be talking about that because a bloke's been murdered here. It's bigger than that. But, yeah, it's a lot of things are going to obviously play out over the day and days ahead. And, yeah, we'll just, you know, do what... You don't know how to handle a situation like this because there's not too many times you have the experience with it. But the Adelaide Football Club, the AFL... I'm sure Port Adelaide will help to make sure that everything happens as well as it possibly can in this tragic situation.
Just remarkable composure from Mark Ricciuto driving in to do his breakfast. He does morning breakfast over on Triple M. And as he just heard, got a phone call from the chairman and delivered the sort of news that I can't imagine. Damo, you were listening. You got online and listened.
I did this morning, Gaz, because like a few people around town, the calls came through very early, and I just wanted to see what Mark Ricciuto may have been saying about it. And so I listened to what he was talking about with Chris Dittmer, and honestly, you would not have known he was dealing with the turmoil that he clearly was. He was just a thorough professional when it came
shocked
to the radio.
Shocked, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it did, and he was obviously started returning text messages once he was able to by way of the police allowing the release of the information once the family had contacted the people it felt it needed to do so. And but I guess,
just to point out, Damo, I reckon it's worth noting that he knew when he went to air on Triple M in Adelaide, but didn't disclose the information because of what you just said about the police.
Look, and I've heard Chris Dittmer, he's on-air co-host of that show, talk again to at a program that Triple M did at midday, and I got the impression out of hearing him speak today that I don't think he even told him until the absolute last moment. And look, Mark didn't return. I felt bad sending the text to Mark, but he didn't return it until it was made public. But that's what he was dealing with clearly at that time. And as we have subsequently learnt, BT, the players were being phoned and were actually heading toward the club at about the time the information did become public.
So there may be a lot of people listening who aren't aware of Phil's footy background, apart from his more recent one. He played at Richmond, Bristol.
Yeah, Collingwood first.
Collingwood first.
Yep.
Then went to Richmond.
Yep.
And 40 games at Richmond.
To Brisbane for
That's
another
right.
60.
Yep.
Then he's coaching.
Won a best and fairest.
Won the first best and the very first best and fairest at the Bears.
He did. Yep. He's coached at Geelong.
As a fitness man.
Yeah, and we just spoke to our large friend Bill Brownless, who said he was so good at the job of being the fitness man that even got him fit at one stage. West Coast Eagles.
Yeah, he was really instrumental there in the senior assistant coaching role.
Yep.
He was John Worsfold's right-hand man.
Was there when they won the premiership?
I believe he was.
And certainly at Port Adelaide he was.
Yep. And highly regarded in the tactical sense. I think that's ultimately why he got a job. He was also the rookie of the year when he transferred from Collingwood to Richmond, the best first-year player.
Yeah. I mean, we all... I didn't know Philip Walsh at all, other than in passing. So, but I do remember coming and watching Kevin Bartlett play in a record-breaking game here. I don't know how old I would have been, but Philip Walsh played in that game and played an absolute belter. Mm.
He was a fast left footer and good skills, and he came from Collingwood at the same time that John Anea transferred. They came as a duo to the Richmond Footy Club.
Should also be worth noting that I'm reading here off a report from the Advertiser. Almost died. He lay in a crumpled heap on the side of a busy street in Cusco after a 12-seater minibus ploughed through him in October 2012.
And if you've ever been to Cusco, not forgetting the fact that he was not in a good condition there,
he saw the white light.
Horrible place to be injured in Cusco.
And that was a turning point in his... Well, not that he had any other need to have a turning point, but that's he started riding bikes everywhere, got the healthy fit, his mindset changed, and that's when he sort of thought seriously about becoming the senior coach.
He was a super confident guy. He was, even at that young age when I was, around and playing in the same era as him, playing in the same team, he was an absolutely super confident guy, and I now see that in his coaching, where he was super confident about his ideas and perspective in coaching as well. That hasn't changed in a long time.
And he was so refreshingly different, wasn't he? I mean, even his most recent press conference that made, I suppose, national headlines was the reference to Van Gogh in the museum that he saw, in his off-season most recently, and just the context he gave, that the torment of that particular artist in what he actually painted was something that he could relate to. It was a you know, it was an ugly painting, yet it was a beautiful one because of the torment associated with it.
He was different. Yeah. I mean, as I said, I didn't know him, but I always looked at him and thought, that's a very different man, and that's not a bad thing at all. Yeah.
He was engaging to talk to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had nothing to do with him prior to this season, but we had a little bit to do with him in at Fox pre-season about what's expected of coaches in terms of helping us out with access to pre-game interviews and players and his philosophy on what worked for him time-wise and all those sorts of things. And, you know, he comes across so seriously, but he'll sit there and he'll openly tell you, he goes, look, I get a bit carried away sometimes talking footy, so just stop me if I'm boring you. But he said, I just love it.
Yeah,
he just loved the game and he could talk about it all day.
Just interesting, like we all feel down. And, you know, to be frank with you, we probably don't want to work.
You're 100% right
now,
there.
I'm thinking that the footballers that are playing tonight and this weekend are probably feeling the same as us.
That's a lot of clubs that he's touched, by the way. That's seven clubs.
There's seven clubs.
But those ones in particular would be feeling it most.
I mean, until 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, when Gold Coast and GWS came in, it was seven of the 16 effectively establishment clubs in the AFL system. So it's a massive reach. And as I think it was Rob Chapman said, he wasn't just a coach, but and you've lived this with him as a player, but he immersed himself at every level. Like it was all in. It was people who would not normally be brought into equations. And that was evident long before we hear the stories about him today.
He was in a sort of similar sort of way, Jace, a young, you know, Kevin Sheedy's so lateral and so sort of different, you wonder where he's going sometimes. Phil Walsh was a bit like that when he would start the conversation with you, and then he would pick up the threads of what you had to say, and then he'd cling on to something you say, and away he'd go in that direction, but you're very different. Yeah.
Very interesting talking about the impact on players, and again, it'll affect some players deeper and differently than others, so it remains to be seen exactly what sort of impact it's going to have on them.
Well, we're going to talk to Lee Russell in a moment. She's the wife of Hawthorn High Performance coach Andrew Russell, who is regarded as the best fitness man in the business. But she's also a psychology coach herself. She was on Foxtel's The Recruit Show, but she's also qualified organisational development specialist and performance coach, and she's worked at Hawthorn, Essendon, Gold Coast. So we'll get her thoughts on that. I don't think this man will mind me saying, I was in touch with Craig Kelly today, his son Jake, of course, was taken this year in the rookie draft. Now, Jake was never going to be drafted, really. He didn't play Victorian state footy or any of that sort of stuff, but he is as good a kid as you ever come across. His work ethic is unparalleled. And Phil Walsh saw something in Jake that he liked, and so took him on as a rookie. And he got him over there, and Craig's Ned said that the way that he looked after that young man, taking him out of the family home and relocating him, was extraordinary. And that gives you a little insight into what those players be feeling.
And to add to that, I had the opportunity to speak with Brent Riley recently about his injury or brain injury, and he spoke in very similar terms to what you've just mentioned there, Gary. He said the guy that was there every single day at the hospital, long after everyone else had sort of moved on, was Philip Walsh. As a new coach, didn't really know Brent, he was shocked by, you know, the time that he'd put into him.
And I think, and having had a listen today and watching the TV and listening and reading various stories, we've only just beginning to understand him. As I said, I don't know him very well at all. But the one overriding thing that is coming through, is becoming apparent, is his investment in his players. And one of the great qualities of all great coaches, and I don't know if Phil Walsh was going to be a great coach or not, sadly we won't find out, but is if the players will follow you wherever you want to take them, then you're halfway there. And it would appear to be the case in the early stages anyway of his coaching career.
Hawthorn take on Collingwood tonight at the Triple MCG in what is a very important game. Footy gets put into some sort of context when we've had the 24 hours that we've all experienced as we all try to come to grips and deal with the tragic circumstances surrounding the passing of Philip Walsh. And one of the questions the boys, I think the chief, posed just before we went to the break was the impact on the players and how could you possibly prepare them to deal with this sort of enormity. And none of us are qualified to answer that. And
maybe Lee Russell is or isn't, because I'm not sure she ever would have had to have dealt with anything like this either, but she's eminently qualified. She's the wife, as I said, of Hawthorn High Performance Coach Andrew Russell, so she's just arrived here at the MCG. She's a psychology coach on Foxtel's recruit, qualified organisational development specialist and a performance coach, and she's worked as a facilitator and counsellor at Hawthorn, Essendon and the Gold Coast. She's been good enough to join us. Welcome, Lee.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I wish it was under better circumstances.
Yeah,
what could anyone possibly do to help these boys prepare for life beyond a man who has mentored them? We were just talking about the sort of effect that he's had already in a short period of time on some of the players. And, I mean, where do you start?
I think you nailed it before when you said, you know, no one really is prepared for something like this. But I think you start, I listened to the chairman before, and you start with getting people together and making sure that you're giving them the right information, all the information you have. And then, of course, extending that support for the hours and the days and the weeks and months and possibly years that the grief process may need to unfold into.
Well, that's one of the things we spoke about, Lee, because everyone reacts differently and handles these sort of tragedies differently. So in terms of not playing this weekend, but then maybe the season picks up the following week for these Adelaide players, it's going to be a little bit wait and see which of the players can actually get back into their routine of training and playing and which perhaps don't handle that as well.
Absolutely. For some, I think it'll probably be a welcome, can I call it a distraction,
yep.
You know, from the grind of grief. And certainly, as you said, Bung, it's really very much an individual thing. So the way that we prepare our players on field is very much how we need to prepare the players off field, particularly in very tragic circumstances. So again, it is very much a wait-and-see proposition. And as I said, some will relish the opportunity to perhaps get back on the park. Others may not be so ready, and we need to, steel ourselves for all eventualities.
Lee, that's for the people close to Phil Walsh and the Adelaide Football Club. What about the people and the players here tonight at the MCG and the other players that have got to compete and the wide range of emotions that those players have to deal with?
It's a very tricky one. I've been listening all day to the very heavy impact he had, you know, right across the league and the nation of supporters. From a personal perspective, we were with Phil at Port Adelaide for many years, and the impact he has had is very widespread. So I can imagine that lots of players, coaches, families and supporters and fans will be very affected by this. And in some way, it's quite confronting that life goes on, it doesn't stop, and we need to be able to be there for each other to make sure that we're all okay as we try and muddle our way through this unspeakable tragedy.
Lee, I'm aware there's no way of knowing in advance as to what happens and how people and players particularly are going to react to what lies ahead, but the specifics of the very next game of football, Rob Chapman committed the club to playing the next game. It's a Saturday week. It's a match in Perth, which obviously requires travel. Is it possible that as you sit here right now, that the travel aspect to that first, reappearance as a football team will be on the back of a travel situation? Is that something that could well be a positive for this club?
I think what would be a positive is actually the opportunity for the team to get together. There's lots of downtime when a team travels. So, you know, there is a real opportunity there to continue to provide that support that each and every person needs, but also really build that team dynamic around adversity. We know that many teams, you know, continue on successful competition after there has been some sort of an event happen, although I'm not sure that any of us could have imagined this kind of event. So it could be a positive. I imagine, though, that some will have some sense of anxiety about leaving their families and their local support networks and their club and so on.
Hmm.
So, again, very individualised.
Lee, is part of this process of talking things out and trying to flush out everything, if you like, out of the system, is saying to these boys, listen, we know it's a game and you don't have to play. You don't have to play full stop at the end of it all. I mean, if this is enough, I would imagine there would be a player or players who are sitting there going, well, you know, the meaning of all this? Where does football fit into all this? Is that part of it to say it's okay if you want to walk away?
Absolutely. I think giving people choices, particularly athletes' choices, about the way in which they want to go through the next few days, week, month and so on would be very, very important. And certainly the club and the community respecting those choices, because as we've talked about and you guys have been talking about tonight, grief is so profound and so individual that it hits people in different ways at different times. So it would be important to give athletes choices and you know, go from there.
Right, Lee, appreciate your time and for dealing with such a difficult subject tonight, and we thank you for that.
Thank you, and condolences to everybody.
Absolutely. Thanks, still plenty more to come on Triple M Football. Of course, the game a little bit later on as well. It seems almost inconsequential, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But
yeah, it does.
It is going to happen here tonight. The G is slowly starting to come to life here as well.